I mean, I'm the third in line of this group, and just the fact that every single time, I mean, 2014 was a tough year for Penn State, right? I mean, we were trying to get back to where we wanted to be, and then to see Hack elevate the room, then Trace come in, elevate it even farther, like, that's just the goal of the QB room. It's not a selfish thing of, oh, I want to keep the records to myself, or I want, you know, I want to be the best quarterback. I want the next guy to be better than us, because at the end of the day, we're all on the same team. Like, we're all Penn State at the end of the day, and we all want to see a national championship come to this program.
What's going on, folks? We are launching the Retain the Roar campaign here at State Media in partnership with Happy Valley United. This is extremely important to me personally and the entire program moving forward. I came to Penn State in some of the darkest times. I deeply care about this university and this football program. That is why I'm done talking. I'm going to lead by example, and I'm working to pull a bunch of other lettermen together to get behind this campaign. Integral for us to participate in NIL, and not only participate but dominate, to match the expectations that we all have for this program. We're in it to win championships, so let's put our money where our mouth is. I'm taking the first step. I hope that you all follow me. Our goal is to raise $500,000 to close this spring transfer portal cycle and ensure that we retain the Roar.
College football tees, college basketball tees, whatever you need, Mercury has you covered with the best merch out there. We're talking about high quality clothing, inexpensive, and the best part is I have a 15% discount for everybody who goes and gets some right now. Use the code below, hit the link in the description, and go get your merch now. Use the code to get 15% off. What are you waiting on? Go do it.
So I'm sure you guys are going to get your fill of the We Are chants when you get into the stadium. So we're going to hold on that here. We're going to hold on that. B and Jay, we appreciate you kicking that off. But Sean was just saying this. He stole my intro. I don't think this has ever happened before. All of us sitting down and being able to chat. So this is a pretty cool moment for me, at least. I want to kick this off lightly, like a – Q&A is super important. That's great. We want to get you guys involved. So we're going to get to that shortly. But just some life updates from these guys. I know we all obviously live in a very public light. But again, this doesn't happen often. So, Trace, what's going on with you, man?
Nothing much been going on. Kicking off the biggest life update for me. Last year, got married.
Big time.
Made that jump. Followed you into that married life. And I survived year one, which is an accomplishment.
Yes,
we made
it
through, and now we can just smooth sail to the rest of it. But things are going well. Still trying to play. Still, you know, bounced around a little bit last year in the NFL, and still trying to kick it off, see what I can squeeze out of it. But no, things are going well. Living in Virginia, and you know, I got to get my golf game a little bit better. So spend a little more time on the course when I can. But other than that, man, things are going well.
We're gonna get you back to South Jersey, and we'll sharpen that golf game.
Yeah, we'll get back there for sure.
And also, marriage is the first step. My son turns one tomorrow, so I am shooting out of town super early, and that's a whole nother ball of wax, brother. So,
I know that'll come around the corner. I'm just gonna try and enjoy where I'm at right now, though.
John, what's up, brother?
Not much. Just living in Green Bay right now, Green Bay, Wisconsin. You think? I apologize to everybody. I definitely brought the weather with me, so apologize in advance. But
yeah, you're actually probably the only one who's warm right now, being you said.
I'm feeling pretty good. This is a
nice summer day for you.
Yeah, we had a blizzard last week, so can't be mad. But yeah, no, up in Green Bay, had the opportunity to back up Jordan Love last year and learn from him. Just that line, honestly, with Brett to Aaron to Jordan, just being able to learn, see how Jordan plays ball. It's been a wild ride so far, and going into year two, so enjoying it.
Awesome. So one more thing, I think it's really important. This program's done so much for me personally, and I took so much pride in playing quarterback here, and I want to get y'all's perspective on what it means to be the quarterback at Penn State.
I mean, obviously it's a huge honor, right? You see the list of guys that have kind of came before you, and this kid, you were just talking about the guys that were in Green Bay. You know, you go Brett to Aaron, and then obviously now Jordan. But thinking about the list of guys that were here and, you know, who came before you. You were here before me. And then I feel like it's always been really cool to try to pass that forward. Like, what you, the guy you were for me, I wanted to be that for Cliff. And then Cliff was that guy for now, Drew and Bo and that crew. And I think that's a really cool thing that we have here at Penn State. I mean, even the older guys coming back when we were here, Blackledge, M-Rob, Kerry Collins, all those guys. And, you know, I'll see Todd on the sidelines before NFL games that he's calling now, and be able to go and talk with him and just, you know, kind of, you know, shoot the shit a little bit with him. And it's really cool to kind of have that we share that bond together. We were the quarterback here at Penn State, and how that carries on. And it's just a really cool honor, and it's something that don't take lightly when you get here, but it's something that you're very blessed and very honored to have been a part of.
Yeah, I think it's about, I mean, when you first get in, you're just kind of awestruck by the lineage that Penn State brings along when it comes to quarterbacks. And the fact of the matter, just to be one spoke in the wheel of a long line of generational quarterbacks, I mean, you setting the kind of the new tone with 2014, just trying to live on that legacy. It was an honor to be here. I mean, I overstayed my welcome.
Yeah, what were you, 27 when you
left? Yeah. That's why I had to say this. That's why I got the records.
At least you know.
I bought that extra year with COVID, so one good thing that came out of it. But, you know, all jokes aside, it was really just the opportunity to be able to lead such a great group of men for so many years. I mean, that's what you asked for, and that's what I aspired to do when I came in, and you guys set the tone, so it was easy.
Yeah, it's funny. I got in and got out, and then watching you, my brother played soccer here, and he actually came in the spring that I left, and I think he left with you. You two guys suckered the NCAA out of some. I was like, Brandon, you took all of my eligibility and used it, and then, you know, you two guys.
Yeah, I definitely banked a couple extra years, that's for sure.
Cliff even got towards the end of the NIL stuff that me and you missed all out on.
Yeah.
So,
I went back into that point too.
Yeah.
So, I had a good.
I had to stay for another year or two as well.
All right, so what do you guys got for us? Open it up for Q&A.
What was your favorite play call? We're just waiting to hear it when you heard it. You got more excited about the plays or that play where you're just I can
kick this one off.
What was that play?
So I don't know if this was all the way from Hack. This is a great – I mean, this is why this is such a great panel right here. But Trace actually taught me something very young in my freshman year. And he taught me that chicks dig the deep ball. Now I'm engaged. Now I'm engaged. That's, you know, it definitely helped me out. So, but he taught me that's the name of the game. So I was always all about the four verts. Let me go deep. Not wrong. It's confirmed here. So I don't know if that started with Hack, but it definitely Trace had it going. So that was my favorite play.
I think that did start with you. I mean, that's right. It started with. I'm a guy. He didn't start here, but Billy Fessler. That was his one. He brought that. It's my favorite play call along the same lines. We called it backpack. It was anytime we got any sort of too high look, you'd see that come in, and it was. I mean, we threw touchdowns. The Godwin threw touchdowns. The Mike on it threw touchdowns. The Ham, like.
That was the post out and up, right?
It was, yeah.
The benching
post
up,
by
benching
one,
up.
And then it was like benching up by two.
Yeah.
So it was, you know, it was an automatic for us. It was anytime we saw it, kind of too high a look, we knew what we were getting to.
Mine was throw the ball to Allen Robinson. I'll never forget it. When I first got here, Coach O'Brien sat me down and he goes, listen, I don't care. If you have Allen Robinson one-on-one, I don't care what I call. Get him the football.
So on that note, I'm kind of taking you. O'Brien told us this story, so I want you to tell it.
Yeah.
That the play to Allen against Michigan. Calls that timeout. What does he tell you?
Yeah,
he's from how he explained the story to me.
Yeah. Well, I'm gonna be completely honest with you. The first catch that Allen made, I've said this. The first catch on the sideline Allen made in that 2-minute drill was the best catch of that entire sequence. And I was like, all right, great. And then I don't know how I threw the whole shot to Brandon Mosby Felder up the right sideline. That I was like, I'm on a heater. I'm going to keep this rolling. So when he did bang the timeout, I literally was like, I'm throwing this to Allen.
Yeah.
I was like, they're in a two shell. He's going to have two guys on him. I was like, but I was literally like, I'm staring down the middle of the field to hopefully hold that safety just one step. And I'm throwing the ball to Allen. And Bill is like, yeah.
Yeah, and you can see yourself. You like drop, you take your five, you drop back, hold, and then.
Yeah.
Just like, let it
yeah.
go.
Yeah. I was throwing it. I was like, I'm on a heater. We're ending this.
Yeah. That was definitely some vintage tape when we look at, go all the way back. You know, it's a little grainy on the tape. You can't see it.
Not quite the one that you had to put on the wheel in the back.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah.
All right. What else you guys got?
So when I was a little kid, the jersey, so I'll go to the jersey that I wore, that I did wear the most. Yeah, in Ashburn, Virginia was, and there's no real reason why I wore this. I think it was one of the first ones I got, was a Ricky Williams Miami Dolphins jersey. No, I don't know why, but I love that jersey. My uncle was a big Dolphins fan. He got me that jersey. And as I grew up, you know, I started playing quarterback, got into Drew Brees and Michael Vick era.
I had on the basketball side, I had a Jordan black like alternate Carolina jersey that I wore entirely too much in middle school, but to this day, it's the only jersey of another man that I own. It's sitting in my basement. It's Brett Favre. I love Brett Favre. Love Brett Favre.
Yeah, I mean, I got to go all the way back. Coming from Cincinnati, Ohio, big Bengals fan. So Carson Palmer had that jersey kind of worn out for a while. And then I had Peyton Manning Fathead on my wall. So ended up switching to Peyton, the 18, the Colts 18, not the Broncos. So
The 18.
The 18, yeah.
Sure, you support the Braves. Did you know you were going to go to Black Knight the whole time?
So we really kind of drew that up. We knew they were either going to be playing man-to-man or they were going to be playing like their soft zone, their cover six, what we call it, a quarter-quarter half. So really, to the boundary side, we had our zone beater. It was going to be, you know, Mike just kind of on a quick stick right on the linebacker, just put it on him, get the first down and go. But to the field where Saeed was, it was double slants. So really, that ball could go to Deshaun on the inside slant if he wins, or it goes to Saeed if kind of that nickel were to collapse down on him. So, you know, they came out, showed man, and then, you know, I knew it was going to work in that side and just went through the progression, and then Saeed did a great job winning versus press and made a tight catch. Ball was right on him in a contested catch. Was able to make that play and keep that drive alive.
So you played versus Michigan at home. That was like your sophomore year. The unit converted. It was like third and like one or two. You ran the reverse to KJ Hamler.
Yeah.
Side. Just curious, like what plays you considering? It seemed like kind of surprise.
Yeah, I mean, I love that we're talking. This is some true football right here. But no, I mean, shout out to Ricky Ronnie. I think all these guys had Ricky at some point, but Ricky Ronnie drew that play up. We hadn't repped it the whole week, but it was like a staple play for us. And kind of like the Allen Robinson deal, KJ was my guy. So get KJ the ball at all times, and in the most critical situation, let's just pitch it to him and let him get the first down. Yeah, first down, win the game.
In class.
I went.
That silence is telling.
I can feel that coming from you guys. I was there. So I guess I don't have like a great story, but I guess the one thing that always stuck out is, so I was an accounting major, and you know, first day of class you get in, and the teacher was, all right, who's gonna go get their CPA? And the entire class would raise their hand. Except me. And then everyone would look at me like, what are you doing here? And I'm just like, I'm here, you know, so I don't get in trouble, guys. Like, I'm here, I want to learn, but.
Here so I don't get fired.
Yeah, exactly.
Mine was, I think it was my sophomore year. I had already dropped a class, and there was this class, it was an elective. I don't know the exact title of it, but it was basically a honeybee. It was a class about bees, like it was a whatever that is. And everyone knows the electives. You know, you're trying to look for some easy A's. I think it was an in-season thing. So we're like, all right, let's get in there, you know, show face, get it done. We walked in, and I'll never forget this. There was like 25 football players. There was probably 7 or 8 basketball guys. And the professor stood up and he looked left and he looked right and he goes, "Now, I know historically this class has gotten a rap as a relatively easy A, but that's going to change." Every single one of us were like, "Oh, what did we just sign up for?" And I was in a bad position because, again, I had already dropped a class. So if I dropped that one, I was going to be ineligible. So I had to grind through it. But it was actually a very interesting class. But that was one of the moments I'll never forget. We all just were like, there's no chance. We were going to be at the off campus there where they actually have the beehives and stuff studying honeycombs. It was fantastic.
Yeah, mine was actually...
What's going on, y'all? Christian Hackenberg with State Media in the Pocket. This segment is brought to you by Utz. Utz has a phenomenal line of potato chips and other snacks. We were fortunate enough to be able to enjoy them all weekend. They kept us fed and ready for all of these interviews that you all are about to enjoy. They've been a fantastic partner of ours, and we're looking forward to continuing to bring you guys exclusive content here at State Media.
It was my only 8 a.m. class that I had, and I actually went the whole time. And the reason I went was the main project for the whole semester was actually to recreate a brand. And this was right as NIL was coming out. So I used that whole project with this guy named Trevor Robinson to build what my plan was going to be when NIL came out. And so when July 1st of 2021 hit, I was pretty ready. So that was my favorite class, at least.
Look at that. That actually turned out real life. Well, for
application in school.
How about that?
Good for you.
Yeah. Change the narrative, everybody.
I always wondered, what is it like for you guys as you, celebrities, on campus, with you as students? Like, how did the rest of the students want to react to you? Did you get more people intimidated or they come up to you all the time? What's it like?
So for me, he's a big guy, so he can't blend in that well. I don't know about Ricky over here, but
I blend in better than either.
I was gonna say you throw a hood on. I'm a pretty skinny looking dude. Like I fit in pretty well, so like I just throw a hood on, walk around. You know, I can stay pretty incognito for the most part.
I look like every Delta Chi senior that's
on campus.
I'm able to blend in pretty well.
I didn't have as much trouble as you might think.
I stuck out. stick out, unfortunately. I got very used to wearing headphones and ignoring when someone said my name, which is a terrible thing to do, and I'm still trying to break that habit now. But it was fun, and honestly, I think something that we all can attest to, the king does wear a heavy crown, and with the quarterback's position specifically, at a place like this, there is always a ton of pressure, good, bad, and ugly. So very cool to have had those interactions with my peers on campus, but I also was the guy in the corner trying to stay as incognito and blend in as much as possible. Unfortunately, genetics did not allow me to do that.
I mean, kind of on that note, I do think that kind of goes into the responsibility of what you're signing up to do when you want to play quarterback at a place like Penn State. You understand that everything's going to fall on you, good and bad. And, you know, we joke, like, try and blend in, try and stay out of the spotlight, but inevitably, you can't. Like, people are going to recognize you, and, you know, you kind of understand, like you said, you understand their responsibility, and, you know, it's awesome when things are going great, but then it humbles you at times. And I think it was one of those that, for me, it always kept me level, to knowing that you're always going to have eyes on you. You got to make sure you're on your P's and Q's and, you know, doing the right things, because you never know when someone is watching, and you might think you blend in, but all it takes is one person to see you doing the wrong thing, and then it gets blown out of proportion, and you end up as a headline as opposed to, you know, being the type of guy you want to be.
Two more.
How are you doing, guys?
Hello, sir.
What's it been like watching the team as Letterman, and obviously watching the quarterback position as you watch Trace, you watch Sean, and now you are watching the young guys now? Are you anxious? Are you free? Nervous about the game? How's it good?
Well, since Sean aged me, I will say kind of what we talked about, like the quarterback room is super sacred.
Yeah.
And for me, not just with you, but like with everybody in the room, it was just, everyone knows what was going on when I came in here. It was just more so about continuing to set the standard that was passed down from the teams before us and kind of the DNA of what I think it makes up a Penn State football player, passing that down to Trace and keeping it super fun and light in there because of all that pressure that we had, like, that was cool for me. And then to see you go out and take the reins and then elevate, like, you joked about the records, but, like, that had been stagnant here for so long, like, me being able to come in and break pretty much all of them, and then Trace coming in and shattering all mine, and then you doing the same thing and eclipsing that, like, for me, that's the coolest part about being able to set a standard and a growth, especially in the transition period when we were. So that was prideful. And then now, like you highlighted, like, the guys now having the understanding of everything they're going through, not just the X's and O's, but the entire package. Like, it's super cool to be able to get back. And that's part of what we're trying to do, is just continue to bridge the gap and make it easier for us to be a resource and stay in touch and stay in contact. And I sincerely, that is, like, my favorite thing that I've done in my sports career, is just be in the room with these guys and hopefully make an impact.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's been cool to, now that we've kind of moved on and now we can kind of sit back on a Saturday and watch the games as a fan, and you don't have that, like, I don't necessarily get that, like, pregame, like, jitter and all that, but at the same time, like, when things go good, that exhilaration, that excitement, it shows back up, and you're rooting the team on and rooting the player on. But at the same time, when things go well, you feel that, you know, you've been there, you felt that pain before, and you feel for the guy that just threw the interception, or the guy that had the fumble, or, you know, had that chance to make the big play and didn't. And it's one of those that, you know, you want them to do that, so you feel their pain, you love them, support them. And like you said, it's really cool that, I think when you broke my records, I think I said something like, records are meant to be broken. And I truly believe that. It's one of those things that you always want to be paying it forward. If you can set that standard, you want someone to then come and elevate that standard. And that's something that's been really cool here from sitting back and watching once I've left.
Yeah, I think that's really the key. Like, I mean, I'm the third in line of this group, and just the fact that every single time, I mean, 2014 was a tough year for Penn State, right? I mean, we were trying to get back to where we wanted to be, and then to see Hack elevate the room, then Trace come in, elevate it even farther, like, that's just the goal of the QB room. It's not a selfish thing of, oh, I want to keep the records to myself, or I want to be the best quarterback. I want the next guy to be better than us, because at the end of the day, we're all on the same team. Like, we're all Penn State at the end of the day, and we all want to see a national championship come to this program. And that's the name of the game. So that was my thought every single day I went into the room was, yeah, I got to make sure that I'm getting myself better, but in turn also pass on the same legacy that Trace got from Hack and so on and so forth. So it's always been all love in that quarterback room, and that's why it's so sacred.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. Come to that next.
Yeah. Well, I think Sean's got a unique perspective, because you got kind of both of that. But I mean, not having been in it myself, I think it's just a natural evolution. Like, it's such big business. And when you get to the NFL, like, that's such a big part of it. Like, there's guys who walk in that locker room who, you know, are making, you know, $10 million that year. Yeah. I don't know if it does. Like, it's part of it. Like, there's still so many things that you do within that building and that you do within those dorms with those guys. Like, college is unique in the sense that it's a bubble where you are still maturing in a lot of different factors. Just because they have the ability now to benefit from the platform and the play that they're doing, like, that's great. Making an impact in the community. I know that's a big thing with what you did, Sean. Like, that's just all great stuff. And it only amplifies the fact that these guys are growing up together. And I think that's what's unique about college sports, is there's still that element that's not going to go away because there's so much of a maturation process at this point in time in their career.
Yeah, I mean, I was on my way out. You know, I had 2 years with it. And the first year, it was just crazy. So really, the first year doesn't really count. The second year, it was kind of coming to fruition. And I think it really goes back to the leadership in the locker room at the end of the day. If your leadership is there and you're together, like, guys are going to make money, and that's honestly really good at this point. I think there's got to be regulation that comes around it, whether it be a players association, whether, you know, unifying the players in some sort of way so that way we can have those conversations from the player's perspective. But like Hack said, there's a lot of money involved, and the players definitely deserve a chunk of that.
I do, yeah.
Yeah, the question was, do we need restrictions? And I think that there's going to be some sort of plateau here where some sort of governing body will come down and make those changes. But, you know, we're probably a year or two away from that. So we'll got to hang on for the time being.
We got one more question. We appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you. And my question is, so as players, I would imagine that you would talk to NFL players, and you have got one of them with Tom Brady. And so my question is for you, Trace, how did it feel playing against Tom Brady on Christmas Day?
That was really cool. It was one of those things that definitely, you know, it was my first start, so I'll never forget it for that reason. But definitely was one of those things, like, you know, pretty much at the end of every game, like, you know, the quarterback fraternity across is like, you end the game and one of the first people you want to go find is the opposing quarterback and shake his hand, say good game. Me knowing that was going to be the guy that I'm going to go find, it was a really cool moment. I got a couple good pictures and stuff from, you know, just that interaction. It was really cool that was kind of the moment. And it's actually kind of, you saying that, brought up, we were kind of chatting about it last night. We were just hanging out. Just the fact that how awesome a team sport football is, because even though it's like, I'm going Tom Brady, you know, quote unquote, that's a headline, the two of us were never on the field at the same time. You know, it's, so that's kind of echoes just how awesome a team sport football is. That's one of the beauties of the game, is that, you know, you need that defense, you need the special teams, you need the kicker and the holder and the snapper and everything to be able to win the game. And that was just something that, when you brought that up, it kind of echoed what we were talking about that last night.
Yeah. You made us proud. I know all the Penn Staters are watching you, sir.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you.
Awesome. Thank you, guys. We really appreciate it.
Appreciate everyone. Thank you very much.